Hi, good afternoon. My name is Sarah Garrett Gasson, and welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show. We are here live with some excellent guests coming up for this hour. I am normally on the program on Fridays as part of the roundtable, but I'm filling in for Bill while he is out having a wonderful time, I think, in Vancouver. So hello to you, Bill, if you're listening. With me, we have Tamara McKinney from the Reading Seed, and we have Bobby Jo Buell, editor of the Arizona Daily Star. We're going to focus on literacy and children's issues for the first part of the program, and then we will wrap up with some new updates from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. But first, welcome.
Thank you.
So to give a little bit of background, Tamara, would you mind explaining what the Reading Seed is, what the program is, and what role you guys have with Tucson's kids?
Sure. So Reading Seed is a program that's been around for almost 20 years, and our focus is really on helping struggling readers in kindergarten through third grade read at grade level by the time they move on. And we are one of the children's programs of Literacy Connects, which is the largest literacy organization in Arizona here in Tucson. And it is comprised of four different programs: Reading Seed, Stories That Soar, Reach Out and Read Southern Arizona, and Literacy Volunteers of Tucson.
So Literacy Connects really spans the whole children through adults and even older adults.
Absolutely. So Literacy Connects was actually formed just over 2 years ago by the merger of five independent nonprofits who all came together because we all shared the belief that by working together across the age spectrum, we could have more impact.
So one of the things that is kind of on point now is the Arizona Daily Star has finished its in-depth look at poverty and children in the Tucson area. And Bobby Jo, I was wondering if you could please tell us about the connection that the Arizona Daily Star has formed with Reading Seed and the newspaper's effort to support literacy and get coaches into the classrooms.
So this started back when we were just getting going with the idea of the poverty series. And we said, we just don't want to write about how bad it is. We want to try to change the situation. And so during the months of reporting on that, we kept talking about what are the solutions that are enduring solutions. And you know, we came around to saying it's education, to give the next generation a better chance. And we already knew that literacy was a big issue in this community with a lot of kids reading below grade level. The Star had worked for many years with Literacy Connects on a lot of different projects. So we knew about the organization. We knew that they do great work on a shoestring. And so we approached them. And we also should mention that the mayor, Mayor Rothschild, was involved in this from the very beginning. He has a commission on poverty, and we started talking to him last fall about what to do. And he was the one who ultimately came up with the challenge that we're trying to meet now for 500 new reading coaches for this school year.
So, Tamara, could you explain a little bit about what a reading coach is, what that entails, and how someone, if they're interested, could get involved?
Absolutely. So a Reading Seed reading coach is a trained volunteer who goes into schools where there is significant need and works one-on-one with kids to help them improve not just their reading skills, but also help them shift their mindset and attitude around reading, learning, school, and their own abilities.
And how do you, what does the training involve? What kind of commitment are we talking about?
So we ask that all of our volunteers make a minimum of 1 year's commitment. But many of our volunteers have been around for a very long time, 17, 18 years, some of them. So it's a great program, and we love, of course, having volunteers come back year after year. So if you're interested in becoming involved, you can register for a new coach training, and that is a mandatory kind of introduction to the program, to our methodology, to some of the best practices around reading and working with younger children, especially who are struggling academically. And you can register online for that training at www.literacyconnects.org, or you can call the Reading Seed office, and that number is 798-0700.
Excellent. Bobby Jo, we're in an industry that relies on words. I mean, we're branching out, but there's without words, there's no newspaper. Do you remember learning to read?
I do. I remember I would learn to read in first grade. Miss Allen was my teacher, an older woman, and I was reading Dr. Seuss books, and I remember the day that it's almost like turning on a light. One moment you cannot read, and the next minute you've just stunned yourself by reading an entire sentence. And I remember just being so proud and so excited, and I couldn't wait to get home to read to my mother.
That is awesome. Tamara, do you remember when you learned to read?
You know, I honestly don't remember a time where I wasn't reading. Mm-hmm. I think I was just one of those kids who grew up in a home absolutely surrounded by books. My father is a librarian and has another degree in, you know, English literature. So we are a family of readers, absolutely. And that light bulb that you're talking about, Bobby Joe, we hear so many of our coaches say, it just happens one day. You know, it can be a long and difficult process because learning to read is super complicated. It's not a simple thing, and it's actually not just a natural thing like learning to speak. But for a lot of kids, it just happens one day. It switches.
So, Tamara, the Reading Seed program, is that organic to Pima County? You were telling us before the show started that we're the only ones.
That's right. And Reading Seed was formed here in the mid-90s in Pima County by four community members who really saw a need in the school, especially for elementary-age children that needed help learning to read. And so these four volunteers really started the program, and they ran it completely with volunteers for many, many years until 2003. And they were able to grow the program to about 150 volunteers working in 13 schools.
Excellent. We have Joe on the line. He wants to talk about the connection between poverty and illiteracy. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, it's a subject we don't ever hear enough about in this country, so I commend you all for wading into this area. I was wondering if, the wonderful coverage that the Star did on poverty in this community and what families are up against, and the connection to the narrative of literacy, and is the content interesting so that they can build their knowledge to expand their threshold of, you know, this perceived reality that we all have to form. And I think that bridging connection, and when we start to integrate these, work together with these programs, that suddenly the narrative changes to something way more meaningful.
Well,
you got to start somewhere, and I commend this program. But as this advances, I think that you could really develop this into tackling social ills in this community. And thank you for my time.
Well, thank you, Joe, for those thoughtful comments. Bobby Joe, when you're, as your job is leading the Arizona Daily Star, do you get a sense of how literacy connects to people's ability to connect to what's going on in the world around them? How if you don't have the reading skills that are up to where they should be, that you miss out on so many things?
Yeah, we know that that's true. We look at who reads newspapers. And obviously, if you don't find reading an enjoyable exercise, if you don't understand it, if it's hard, reading a newspaper, reading anything is a choice in a lot of ways in life. And if you're not good at it, you're just not going to do it. And so you cannot be engaged in current events and what's happening in your world without some reading skills. Now, that said, we live in a world where in virtually any job, you have to have some reading ability. I know a few years ago I was at a Literacy Connects program, and there was a young man there in his 20s who had come in for some tutoring as an adult. And when I asked him why he was there, he told me that he was an auto mechanic at a car dealership here. And he said, I have to be able to read the manuals to work on a car, and I'm unable to do that. So there, I can't imagine any job where you don't have to have some level of reading skills.
Well, we will be right back to talk some more about literacy and how that impacts what's going on in our world and how people can get involved to help kids learn to read. We'll be right back.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
Hi, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson, filling in for Bill Buckmaster. I'm an editorial writer and columnist on the Arizona Daily Star, and we're here with my boss, Bobby Jo Buell, editor of the Arizona Daily Star. She's in charge of all of us. And Tamara McKinney, who's here from the Reading Seed. We were talking about literacy and helping kids read, and the connection between being able to navigate your world through reading and how that affects your economic life, your social life, every part of how we live today. And the Reading Seed focuses on K-3, right?
That's correct.
Could you tell us a little bit about why those years are so formative and important in a child's life?
Absolutely. And, you know, and in a lot of ways, the years before kindergarten are very important as well. But for the Reading Seed program, we're a school-based program, and so we actually operate during the school day inside the school. So focusing on kindergarten through third grade allows us to really reach the students before before the critical moment has passed. And there's a lot of research that demonstrates when a student enters fourth grade, their level of proficiency with reading truly determines what path they will take academically, socially, vocationally. There's really there's a tremendous amount of data that just shows us when you are able to read proficiently by the end of third grade, you are far more likely to graduate from high school, to go on to college, to complete college, and to really thrive both academically, socially, economically, all of those things. So there's no way that we can ignore that link.
Bobby Jo, we were also talking before we came back from the break about we were talking about how so many Tucsonans have volunteered to step up and take the training and be part of the Reading Seed program. Tamara, you said it was 390-something?
397 as of 9 o'clock this morning.
Wow. And the goal that the mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, and all of us have set is 500 reading coaches?
Yeah. 500 more. Last year there were 500, and so the goal is to add an additional 500 this year.
Wow, and part of the need though is also if you aren't able to volunteer your time, there's other ways to contribute. Could you talk a little bit about the need for just funding to help get people trained, up to speed, and keep the program going?
Right. So to organize all these volunteers, there have to be some paid staff that do that. If we get up to 1,000 volunteers in schools, there's the coordination that has to go with the schools. There's the training of the volunteers. There's the mentoring of the volunteers. You know, if a volunteer runs into a problem as the school year is going along that they didn't expect, they come back to Reading Seed and get additional advice and coaching themselves on how to handle that. And then we now live in an era where you have to measure your results. I mean, this can't just be something that sounds nice. We have to be able to prove that Reading Seed gets results. And so that requires some testing. And again, all of that costs money. So if you're unable to volunteer your time, certainly a donation to Reading Seed would be greatly appreciated.
And I think we've been in the Star publishing the kind of the tally as we go. And I think the last time we checked on Friday, it was around more than $12,000.
That's right.
And there's organizations that are matching, like the Stocker Foundation, it says will match up to $25,000 in gifts. So there's a real opportunity to kind of leverage your gift with these matching funds. Does it cost anything to become a Reading Seed coach?
We do ask for all new Reading Seed volunteers to make a $20 donation towards the costs of our training and staff time, but it's absolutely optional, so we can waive that if it would impinge on an individual's ability to volunteer with us. And I also want to emphasize that donations to Reading Seed and to Literacy Connects in general do qualify for the Arizona tax credit for supporting organizations who work with the working poor. So if you were to make a $200 donation to Reading Seed as an individual, or even $400 donation if you're married or you're filing jointly, that is completely refundable, dollar for dollar, off of your Arizona taxes.
Wow, that is really important to know, because I know those sort of tax breaks do really get people contributing to schools and other organizations. So thank you for mentioning that. Bobby Jo, is there anything that with the reporting on the poverty series that the Arizona Daily Star did that kind of stuck out to you as someone who is involved with the reporting project, but also that you've heard back from readers?
We've heard a lot of feedback from readers. One of the concerns we had was whether readers would see this as a community-wide problem, something that really touched their lives, or whether people would say, that's someone else's problem to solve. And that's not been our experience at all. We've received many letters to the editor. I mean, and just the response to the coaches, I think, shows how much our readers care about this issue. We set a goal of signing up 500 new coaches for this school year, and so the mm-hmm. school year has just begun. And at the rate we're going now, we will make the 500 goal here in about 3 weeks' time. And so, I mean, most of all, thank you to the STAR readers who've responded in such a big way. But certainly our readers do want to help solve this problem. And there's just no better, more enduring, lasting way than to make sure that our kids are educated.
One of the things that I've heard from kids that, you know, of all different ages is that they find reading boring, that it's not fun, that, you know, they have to read boring school books. And how do you, any advice on making reading fun for kids?
Pick the right books. It's true. There are a lot of books that are written for kids, especially that can be used in the classroom, that just aren't exciting or interesting to the majority of students. That being said, with our Reading Seed volunteers, we really encourage them to focus on whatever that student cares about. That is the biggest key to engaging a struggling or reluctant reader. What do they care about? What are they interested in? What's going to get them excited? And then part of the job of the coach is to go out and find books about that topic that are at an appropriate reading level for the student.
What was your favorite book as a child?
You know, I was really a big poetry person, so I have a copy of the Random House Illustrated Book of Children. That was probably my absolute favorite book, and it is tattered and frayed. I think I got it for my fourth birthday.
Excellent. Bobby Jo, how about you?
Oh, I can't recall that I had a favorite. I was just a huge reader from the time I could read, have been my whole life.
I should mention that my own parents met while they were teaching adults how to read, and that maybe that explains why I'm working with words. Who knows? We wanted to also kind of reach out to the Rotary Club is so key to the Reading Seed. Could you talk about that connection?
Absolutely. So part of the reason that Reading Seed exists right now and that our reach is so tremendous for a fairly small nonprofit is because